Senator Davis, Senator Olson, Senator Stevens, Senator Huggins, and glad you'd all be here for this meeting. We're going to be dealing with Senate Bill 285, the result of the Moore case. And Tim, would you start by introducing this CS we have in front of us and how that differs from the bill we've been dealing with?
Sure. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Version A, the original bill before you, differs slightly from the original draft submitted by the department. And thus, we have produced a CS. If at this time you'd like to adopt this CS to discuss.
Okay, could I have a motion to
adopt the CS for Senate Bill 285, version Charlie?
Okay, thank you. Senator, any objection to that for discussion purposes? All right, thank you, Tim.
The difference was on page 3, lines 25 of the original bill, that the phrase "in the instructional practices" is now being struck under the CS. That was something included by the drafter. Accordingly, for grammatical purposes, it just simply read better to the drafter, but unfortunately had consequences that the department's not in favor of. Particularly, it would, if we include instructional practices in that phrase, then it limits their ability to step in and intervene and make personnel decisions and to withhold funds, which was the primary thrust of the bill. So the CS reflects much more closely what the department originally submitted.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Any questions on that? Just straightening out that issue. Okay, and Tim, we have an amendment before us as well. Do you want to speak to that amendment?
Sure. Do we need to adopt it first, or?
Let's just go ahead with the amendment. We'll,
The amendment before you is just in the spirit of communication and the fact that with this bill and this proposed law, the legislature is delegating some more authority and power, if you will, to the department. And thus, if there's the perception that the legislature is granting too much power to the Department of Education, or that perhaps this threatens to diminish local control of school districts, that this amendment would at least require the department to notify the legislature before exercising these new intervention powers. And it's expected that they would delineate what's happening and what they expect to do and what results are expected as well.
Okay, thank you, Tim. So let's see now. So we have the we've adopted the A version, and we have before us the C version with the removal of "in the instructional practices." We have that before us. I'm thinking, do we need to? Are we okay with that? Just where it is?
Yeah.
Could we have then we'll do the amendment as well? But so if we're okay with C, could we have a motion to on the amendment?
Yeah, I move amendment number one, Charlie's one.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Any objection to amendment number one? Okay, so we have before us then the C version as amended, and we wanted to give an opportunity to for people to speak for or against this. This is one of those bills you wake up in the middle of the night and you're trying in your dream you're trying to explain it to someone, and you realize I'm not succeeding on this. But it's a complex issue, one I think I grasp. But we want to make sure that particularly districts, the AASB, ACSA, everyone else has a chance to think about it and tell us what they think. So let's begin with Mr. Rose, if you'd come forward, Carl.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. I'm sorry I wasn't with you when you first heard this bill, and I'm pleased to have the opportunity to share some thoughts with you now. As you are aware, Moore versus the state, I believe the plaintiffs asked the question, but they weren't prepared for the response. And now we're drawing into focus the performance or poor performance of students in some school districts. I will share with you that the association has offered their assistance to work with school districts with regard to governance training. It's what we do. And we've offered that to the Department of Education while it was under the leadership of former Commissioner Roger Sampson, and we still maintain that position. I do have a couple of concerns, and I'll put it to you this way. I'm not going to oppose the bill today because I think that this is a remedy that that does have a place. When I look under No Child Left Behind, and I look under some of the consequences, when you take a look at intervention, the next step beyond that is reconstitution. Reconstitution and complete takeover. And so I don't think the state wants to take over any of these school districts. I don't think they have the wherewithal or the capacity. One. Number two, reconstitution is very problematic. So I view this as a step before reconstitution. I do have some concerns with the Department of Education, not so much the department, but just as an institution. You know, we have local control in 90% of our school districts fare well in the local control. We have some low-performing school districts. They could probably use some assistance. And I'll just lay it out for you. Western Washington State had a professor, Dan Stoffelbein, who articulated the four principles of evaluation. One is feasibility. Is what you propose feasible? Two, utility. What you propose, is it easily understood and implemented? Will people understand it? Three, accuracy. Will what you propose, will it be accurate? Will it hit the mark? And then another one is propriety. What you propose, is it appropriate for the setting that you do it in? For the most part, I think the department will take a look at some of these, but I'm mainly concerned about accuracy and propriety, as well as utility. I would share with you this, that there was a time in this state that we had state-operated schools. We moved away from state-operated schools to local control because we wanted people to be able to come to locally elected officials to voice their concern about their public education system. For the most part, that has worked. We are faced with low-performing school districts, and under our Constitution, it is your responsibility to provide that system under general law. And so I can't sit here and say we oppose this bill, because I don't. What I do not want to see is us move closer to reconstitution or complete takeover of school districts. So in that vein, I think I offer my support as our association to assist the department in any way we can to deal with the governance issues and training that would be required. But I would ask you simply this. When the judge said that she wants to see some movement and didn't tell you what she wanted and said she'll check in a year, I would encourage you to take the same position with the bill like this. To tell the department what you want to see done. Don't tell them how to do it. Have them promulgate regulations and review those regulations to ensure that there has not been any kind of abuse or extenuating circumstances. Because if they are, I will be back before the state board and back before you. I guess this is a tacit way of saying we do need to show some interest in low-performing school districts. This may be the most appropriate way, I don't know. But I would caution the department, if we do something like this, and should the initiatives not be appropriate, or should they not be accurate, or should these initiatives not work, who would be accountable then? Now, I know what happens in school districts. They can be recalled. School board members can be recalled. What will be the recourse if this doesn't work for the department? I only offer that as a caution. We'll do everything as a school board association to assist in any way that we can. Once again, feasibility, utility, accuracy, and appropriateness, I think, are important. So with that, I think I'll end my comments and try to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you, Mr. Rose. I think you've hit on one of the key issues. You know, what if there are failing districts? What if the department steps in? What if the department fails? They're stepping into a very difficult situation, and no one can promise success. But I don't think we have any options here. You know, it's an enormous issue for us to face. Do you think then that the districts in general are accepting of this change? That they understand why we are forced to take this step, and do they? Can, in general, can you say that districts aren't fearful that this is some kind of a end-run takeover or something like that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the districts that are going to be affected by this are not going to be in favor of it. They are, we've got school districts out there, we have professionals out there who are working real hard trying to get the job done. They face some extreme conditions. You know, there are conditions of language and culture and distance. They're not connected by roads. I mean, there are some difficulties out there that even the department is going to have to face. So I think it's a matter of interpretation in terms of what ought to be done, and I don't think that my membership, especially the ones who are affected by this, are going to be very pleased about it. I do think that they welcome the assistance. It's just the heavy-handedness of the way this is being done. You can't expect them to like it. But I think that you as a legislature have some responsibilities, and the judge is commanding you to do that. So, I mean, this is not going to feel good for a lot of people, but I think in some ways it's very necessary. And if we can just keep an eye on the regulations to ensure that they're not being abused. And the other thing I would have to say, when you take a look at our department and their capability of dealing with something like this, they'll have to go to contractors and consultants. And I think when you do that with people who've retired from the system who are in state, I think the costs are manageable. You start going outside of the state and bringing contractors in here, you start looking at some expenses. It could be exorbitant. And you remember, you're withholding foundation dollars for these initiatives, and so that would concern me. It concerned anyone. So I don't have an answer for you with regard to all of the questions I raise, but my one response would be, anyone who has the responsibility to govern a school district and operate a school district will not look kindly on an intervention like this. However, if students are not performing well, something has to be done, and that is your responsibility.
And what would be your expectations of a return of control to the districts? Are we talking years, multiple years?
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to speak for the department, but I think when they lay out a set of targets that need to be met, I believe I've read in here that if those targets are met, they would be looking at returning to the school district. And I don't know how long that would take. I really don't. And I think maybe someone from the department might want to speak about that. But the challenge is quite large. We've been dealing with these issues. Not only in rural Alaska, we have some difficulties in some of our larger school districts with the native population. So I have no idea where this might go. I simply tell you, I understand that under our Constitution, you do have the responsibility for public K-12 education, and through a matter of general law, you have delegated those responsibilities to school boards, and for the most part, we accept that responsibility very seriously, and we work hard at doing that. In some cases, performance is an issue, and it may require different strategies, and I think this may be one of them. My only concern is that we review what we do here. We review the work of the department, and we determine that, you know, costs aren't exorbitant and that we actually hit the mark.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Senator Huggins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Carl. I think I agree with you. We were given this list previously, the sixth districts that were intervened, and then there were 16 on the left-hand side, which we say districts we look closely at. In my estimation, the group on the left we look closely at is the key to our approach. If we communicate accurately to them about where the state sees the challenges, and, oh, by the way, sort of synchronize potentially with them actions to get them out of closely looked at category, then we never have to go to the intervention. In my estimation, that's the answer. And it gets a little bit, and I'm talking to Eddie right now and anybody else that will listen, to what I thought was important for us to have a chronological list of that creates an expectation. If A doesn't happen, B's going to happen, C, but it lays out distinctly what happens in those different categories so that nobody's surprised, everybody understands what the next step is. But we help people before you get to the next step if you will help yourself. Enough said.
If I may respond, yes. Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, through Senator Huggins, I think what you speak of are consequences, and sometimes people have a tough time with consequences, but they do bring results. I would ask the committee and the department and anyone else who's interested in this intervention to not look at this as a punitive action, because that's often what we do. This is like a plan of improvement. When you put someone on a plan of improvement, it could be viewed as being punitive, but it could be viewed as trying to improve their ability to serve. It, you know, a plan of improvement is trying to give you an opportunity to improve your performance. And that's the way I hope people look at this, not as a punitive measure, but as one to improve the performance for students. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Questions? Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at the situation where the school district may not like it, have they come up with any alternatives to this type, any alternatives aside from this type of legislation? Or are there alternatives that are out there that might be able to be a little more workable or accepted by the school district, that are, especially that are affected, as was put forward by the list by Senator Huggins?
Thank you, through the chair. Senator Olson, most of these school districts have embarked on the initiatives. I know that, I know specifically in the case of Northwest Arctic, they had a curriculum review that showed them their areas of improvement, and they were working hard to get there. Some of these school districts are trying to get there, but they face some real difficulties. If this bill helps them get where they need to go, great. My only concern is that it's not viewed as punitive, and that the costs, if exorbitant, could affect their foundation funds, and I don't know exactly how that would affect each one of them. But I do know that they're trying. There are some of these school districts that are trying, and it's difficult for them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Rich?
Yeah, Carl, it came to mind to me last night when I was thinking about this. We already have a program, the mentoring program, which I think is widely accepted for the most part, and you know, making some good contributions in most cases. That if we had a model that was similar to that, that people saw as proactively going out to assist, that it might be a model that might be workable for us. But I just say that for what it's worth.
Thank you. Through the chair, the mentoring program is one component, you know, that would help our personnel at the, you know, at the instructional level. I believe what is being drawn in the focus here is something more than just personnel. I think the amendment that you just adopted is causing them to go into a school district, not just because of their instructional program. I would imagine, and ask the department to speak about this, but I imagine they'll be doing a full assessment of what the impacts are and trying to come up with a plan to address that. And I don't know. I have not talked to them, so I'll maybe get them up here to. But it would appear to me, if you're going to move forward with this kind of authority, you want a full assessment of what the problem is and then design a plan to address it in totality. Anyway, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rose. Appreciate your time, always. And Mary Frances.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mary Frances. I'm the Executive Director of the Council of School Administrators. I'm sorry I missed your last meeting. I am suffering from the Juno crud, as I have before me. I asked my members to weigh in on this. It's a fairly short timeline. I heard from very few of my membership. I don't know if the committee has heard. I did encourage them to respond to you directly, but because I haven't, I feel a little bit like a student who didn't do her homework. I have my own thoughts on the matter, which I will share with you, but I also would wonder if it would be possible to, my membership is coming to town in a couple of weeks, and I know we could fully vet this issue with the superintendents and other district administrators at that time if it worked for you. I could give you a much more.
Could I just comment on that, Mary Frances? I appreciate that, and we've been concerned about not hearing from the districts. And that's, we send it to today in the hopes that we would. I realize it's a lot for people to absorb very quickly. The real problem I think we are facing is that this appears to me to be a must-have piece of legislation that has to move through this entire legislature in 45 days. I'd be loath to hold it off 2 weeks. But we are sending this on to finance, and though I'd hope they would deal with it faster than 2 weeks, you know, it's a problematic because we need to move it forward. At the same time, we want to make sure that the districts understand that they have full opportunity to let us know what they think. So I guess I just say I'd encourage any input at all to my office, and I'll share it with everyone. If there's major issues that people have with it, we need to hear that. But and I'm not saying we're on a rush to judgment here, but we have a limited timeline and we have to move forward on it. So, and I appreciate your situation too, that you haven't had a chance to get much response, and I don't think any of us have. But let's encourage people to keep letting us know what they think. But at the same time, we need to move forward in the process.
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for considering it. A couple of things. The word coaching has come up in reference to the fiscal note. Is my understanding that concept of coaching or mentoring the districts that, or the administrators that are not in compliance. I caution the use of that word. As I understand the department's own coaching and mentoring program, they are not to be judgmental. They're not to be evaluative. So perhaps another word ought to be used for the kind of assistance that's provided in those three positions, as I had heard previous discussion about it. I do also have just a general conceptual question about how withholding funds actually promotes student achievement. What's the direct correlation there? That is a fairly heavy hammer that is included in this bill. The one suggestion that I would have about making the process more acceptable to administrators, that's who I speak on behalf of, who, as has been indicated, that there was a problem with the principal who did not comply or did not want to comply. I would suggest that if we had an opportunity, the Administrator Association, to put together a committee of a support from practicing practitioners in the field who are from the same cultural region, for example. I think that, in other words, if we could police our own as a critical intervention step, I think that would go a long way toward acceptance of the final conclusion. And as I understand it, all of the intervention is from the department rather than practitioners in the field, though they do contract with people who have walked in their moccasins. But sometimes it makes a difference. If it's a superintendent that has been challenging, perhaps practicing fellow superintendents could be identified through our association or whatever mechanism the legislature wishes. But I just know, as a former superintendent, that you listen to your peers sometimes a whole lot more effectively than you do to a heavy hand from another area. That's about all I have. I'm not in opposition to the bill. I am remiss in not having full understanding of my membership's position on it, but we administrators are always in the position to comply with directives and to try to make those directives work for us.
Well, thank you, Mary Frances. Appreciate your thoughtful comments always, and we'll make a point of asking Mr. Jeans to respond to the issue of withholding funds and working towards improving achievement. So we'll get to that. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else to speak to us online or here in the room? Let's bring Mr. Jeans forward, if you would. Eddie, glad to have you here. You've heard some of the questions and comments. I guess one thing I'd like to have us address, and I know it has to be sort of in a truncated way, is the steps that lead us towards intervention. What is the tipping point at which we say, okay, we've done everything we can, and now we need to take this enormous step and take over. So could you sort of lead us through what those might be?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Alaska Department of Education. You may remember when we did the presentation for the Moore case that we have draft regulations that we're taking to the State Board of Education in March that actually lay out each of those steps. Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to say is that the focus here is on increasing student achievement. And if we see a school is headed in that direction, then they are headed in the right direction and the department doesn't need to intervene. But we believe that the judge made it very clear that it's the legislature's responsibility to intervene in those schools that are not showing progress or in some cases actually slipping backwards. So in our regulations, the first thing we looked at is the school making AYP. If they're making AYP, we know they're doing well. Are 50% of their students scoring proficiency in reading, writing, and math? If they are, we know we don't have to intervene. But then it starts getting a little trickier because then we have to dig down into the data a little bit deeper. And I gave you the PowerPoint presentation on the desk and instructional audit, and we intend to follow that model as well. So as we continue to dig deeper and deeper at an individual school level, if we're seeing progress in student achievement, then we're going to back off. If we're not seeing it, we need to help that school develop a school improvement plan. We need to put, they're called district coaches now, but I could actually see school coaches to make sure that that plan is being followed and implemented. And that's what the coaching is all about. Right now, I believe I told you we're directing school districts to use Title I funds to hire the coaches. We won't even approve their grant application unless they agree to hire the coaches. But as I told you before, that puts the coaches in an awkward position because then they're an employee of the district doing work for the Department of Education. And that was the only reason that you'll see that the withholding money from the foundation program to hire coaches. Now, Mr. Chairman, you'll also notice that in our fiscal note, we do have money in our contractual line. And that, for us, is to go ahead and hire coaches so we don't have to dip into money into the district's foundation funds. But I think it's important for us to have that authority as we move forward if we find that we have more schools that we need to intervene in. So I think I answered most of your questions. If not, I'd be happy to answer others.
I think so. I want to make sure that we'd address Mary Frances' question about withholding funds and of course, what you're doing is in order to move ahead on the plan that you have. Senator Huggins?
Yeah, Eddie, you mentioned the Title I funds for coaching. At what point in the process does that happen?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that's happening right now when districts apply for their Title I funds on an annual basis.
So in this list you gave us, that's in the six school districts that you've intervened in?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Okay. What happens on the other side with the 16 schools that we're looking closely at?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, those schools are making progress. They still have to submit school improvement plans, but we're not at the point where we're hiring district coaches to go in and make sure that the plan's being implemented because we are seeing growth in those schools.
One follow-up.
Go ahead.
Okay, so, and I understand. A school has a plan to move forward based on their evaluation results. How do we, in fact, know that it's not just a plan, it's a plan they're following? How do we close that loop?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, that's why we believe we need they're currently called district coaches, but I could envision us getting down to school coaches. But here again, I want to emphasize that the statute may appear heavy-handed, but our intent is to work with the school district administration, with the school district board in developing the school improvement plan. As I've told you before, we at the department have developed many tools for school districts to use in educating children, assessing children, and helping children meet the state performance standards. So we're not going to just accept any school improvement plan unless we think it's going to make a difference. And we will continue to negotiate with the school district in developing that plan. Then when we have a plan in place, you're absolutely right. We need to monitor it, make sure that it's being implemented and followed accordingly. And that's what this legislation is intended to do.
Thank you. Senator Davis?
Thank you. One of the statements you made, you said this is a must-have piece of legislation that we need to pass this session. And I don't agree. And I want to know what makes it be necessary that we have to move so fast to do this. I know what you reported, and I do know that you need to have a plan of action. I do appreciate the fact that they brought forth possible legislation, but to move it within a week and not have the input that we need from the districts, the teachers, the administrators, and all the people that's going to be involved, as well as parents and anybody else that's concerned about this, it's, and I stated when we talked about you withholding the money from Title I at this time, and that when this goes into play, we would then have, you would have the authority to hold it from their funds, their local funds. And I see that as an unfunded mandate. Besides that, these districts are already in trouble and they need their money. And if anybody's going to step up to the plate for the money, it should be the legislature, because it's our responsibility. And I can appreciate the fact that he brought that forward, because he's not going to bring it and say, well, I expect you to come up with the money. We want this much money, and the legislature have to do it. I think that's a touchy situation. Our districts are already hurting. And, yeah, we just give them an extra $49, $50 million. But it's still not where they need to be. And the schools that are struggling need that money to do the things that they need to have the money to buy and get the staff, the experts, and all the people that they need to bring their standards up. And I know that the DED is working on that. And we ought to be looking at that plan. You say you're taking something to the your Board of Education. I know we don't have to vote on it, but I think we ought to be able to see it and at least look at it and see if that's what we think. You know, you're moving in the right direction. We might have some comments to be made. And I don't want to wait till it gets to the Board of Education. They might not even be where I am, and I might not even be able to speak to what you're bringing them. But if you have them in hand, why not let us have that? And the question that I still ask is, what makes this be a must-have piece of legislation for this session?
Thank you, Senator Davis. Let's first go to Mr. Slotnick and ask him to come forward, and Eddie will ask you to deal with the rest of that question. But I think the first question, and a crucial one, is the timeliness. What happens if the legislature does not act this session?
Thank you, Chair Stevens. For the record, I'm Neil Slotnick. I'm an Assistant Attorney General representing the Department of Education. The court was very clear. She gave the state 1 year, 1 year to come back to her and show that we have responded to her instructions that we need to increase the oversight in school districts. And I actually went to the court and said, Your Honor, we want to show you what DEED is doing. Can we have that hearing right now? The court said no, that what she wanted to hear from was the legislature. She wanted the legislature to be aware of her findings, and she wanted the legislature to be aware of what the state was doing, and she wanted to see the legislative response.
So if the state takes no action, what might be the next steps of the court then? Can you answer that, or it's all, you're just guessing, I suppose, but from your experience?
Yeah, Chair Stevens, I really do hate to speculate about what a court is going to do, because
or maybe just the range of options they would have.
But it's very clear she would have the authority to enter an injunction and to order the Department of Education to take certain actions regarding increasing oversight of education and regarding also how we can apply the exit exam. Those are the possibilities.
Would you repeat that, please, about the, what you said about the exit exam?
Through the chair, Senator Davis. The court made a finding that with the quality of the educational oversight that we have right now in those districts that are not showing high performance, that the state cannot use the exit exam to deny children in those districts a diploma. So it is very clear that she would have the authority to enter an injunction that would essentially make a two-tier system, because there would be some districts where there would be an exit exam and some districts where there would not be. And as a policy matter, that seems to me to be a very difficult situation for the state to be in.
Thank you.
So I think this, and those were my words, that I thought it was a high priority bill, that I thought it was to me a must-have bill before we end this session, because the results of our ignoring it could be pretty draconian. Do you have any comments on what happens if we ignore this, Mr. Jeans?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on the judge's rulings, she made it very clear that when we are not seeing high student achievement or increasing student achievement, local control must give way. Now, I think that this piece of legislation makes it very clear that if a school district cannot demonstrate that children are improving, not that they've met this high standard, but they're improving, they're growing, then the state absolutely has a job to step in and provide that guidance. That's what I see as this piece of legislation. Right now, school districts still go, hey, this is local control state, you can't tell us what to do. But I think the courts made it very clear that the state of Alaska has an obligation to put its best effort forward. And that's what this piece of legislation does. It puts districts on notice that you have to cooperate with the Department of Education when students are not performing or that determination has been made.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, like you've held up the chart before, there's a whole bunch of districts on the other side that we're looking at, but we're not forcing them to do anything other than those district improvement plans, and we are working with them in developing those, but we're not going in and directing instruction at the school level or anything like that. And they're showing improvements, and that's the way it should be.
Thank you. Further questions and any further comments on Senator Davis's issues that she brought up?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Davis, the only thing I would say to that is right now we are not withholding funds from Title I. We're directing them how to spend them. And so it puts the contractor in an awkward position where they work for the school district, but they're doing the work that the department is directing them to do. So they're not an employee of the department. They're an employee of the district. And I really believe that we need to step back and make those district coaches what may be school coaches in the future to be employees of the Department of Education.
And I have no problem with that. I still say that it's an unfunded mandate, and if it has to be paid for, they need their Title I monies. And I know you said they're taking it directly out of there and they're employed by them, but this will give you the authority then to leave the Title I monies, which is federal funds, alone, and then go within the foundation form.
Yes.
And withhold money. And I see that as a real problem. And it's not for you to address, it's for us to address. And I just want to put it on the table that I know one thing, if I was a judge, that you were going to bring back, I know you're going to take back to the judge more than that the legislators have decided to pass this piece of legislation. And this shows that we now have a plan in action for the state to take over. You're going to have to present more than that to her for her to close that case out and say that, yeah, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And the statement you made about the exit exam, some students would be able to march and get their diplomas and others would not. We can take care of that. The exit exam is something that we put in place, and if it's not needed, we can get rid of it. We can repeal it.
Yes, Mr. Haynes.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, during today's testimony, I've heard the word takeover many, many times. I do not believe that the judge directed the state of Alaska to take over any school districts. What the judge directed the state of Alaska to do is put forth its best effort. Now, the Department of Education may not be successful, but we have to be able to demonstrate to the courts that we put forth our best effort. And that's really what this piece of legislation is intended to do, to give us the tools to put forth our best effort to demonstrate to the courts that the state of Alaska is doing everything it can.
So I know it's hard to put any timelines on this, but it would be the intention, I would assume, of the department to return control to the district as soon as possible. I'm sure the department doesn't want to maintain control any longer than it has to.
Mr. Chairman, I still don't see this as the department taking control. I see this as the legislature directing school districts to accept guidance and direction from the Department of Education. I do not see this as the department taking over a school or a school district. We absolutely intend to work collaboratively with the school district administration, with the school board, with the individual school principals in implementing the school improvement plan.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Davis?
I hear what Mr. Jeans is asking for, and I think that we should provide him that. We could do that in a joint resolution, just to say that, so that the district will understand that we are moving in that direction and to give us time to work on this as well as look at the proposed regulations that they're going to take before DED, a Board of Education, that is.
Thank you, Senator Davis. But, no, go ahead.
You can go on.
Could you speak to the fiscal note and what that, what those, it's $500,000, but what are those funds, what would they be used for?
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note would actually establish within the commissioner's office, I guess another office, that would be the school improvement office. These would be the people that would work with the school district improvement coaches, district coaches at the school level and district level. They would also be working with the school districts in developing their school improvement and district improvement plans. This would also allow us $215,000 for contracts. So this was the money I was talking about that we would use first before we ever had to revert to dipping into district funds. So I don't know if this is enough. If it's not, we could always come back and ask for more so that we don't have to use district funds to hire contractors.
Thank you, Ms. Jeans.
No.
Let's take a very brief at ease. back to order, please. We have had a chance to try to figure out an additional schedule, but we are unable to do that. Several issues have come up. Having the department regulations and intervention procedures reviewed in the future, it makes a lot of sense. And maybe if there'd be no objection, we could have a letter of intent just to go along with the bill saying that we would like to review these in the next year to know what's going on. That could catch up with the bill. All right, anything else that needs to come before us? Any other questions or comments?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I do have one, and has to do with the mandate that we have by our state's constitution to go ahead and provide public education to those students that are out there. And it's obviously under the legislative control to go ahead and fund these, but are we indeed dealing with a problem that may come back to bite us from that this starts to go ahead and, I guess, infringe on some of the administrative powers that are going on out there and may indeed have a constitutional question? And maybe this is a question for Mr. Slotnick.
Through the chair, Senator Olson.
Do you understand the question?
I'm not sure that I understand the question. It does seem to me that what the court has done is she has drawn into question the issue of local control, and local control has been the basis of education in this state since statehood, other than a brief period in rural Alaska where we did have state-operated schools. But to be frank with you, the way I see this playing out is that we have state accountability. We have a state accountability system right now that the legislature adopted in 1998. This legislation and, frankly, the court's decision, I think, go hand in glove with where this legislature has already been headed, which is to have state accountability and have local control.
Okay, so you don't see a problem with the supervision by the legislature as opposed to the Department of Education related to this problem?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. No, I really do not see that being an issue. It's always been clear, again, as we implement governmental process in this state, that the legislature delegates that authority to the Department of Education to do its oversight duties, and the court hasn't suggested otherwise.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Slotnick. Further questions? So, if I can have a motion to move this.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that CS for Senate Bill 285, version Charlie, as amended with attached physical note and individual comments, be forwarded for committee.
Thank you. Is there objection to that motion? If there's no objection, so ordered. The bill will move on to the Finance Committee. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And we're adjourned.